former Chiefs wide receiver, member of the Chiefs broadcast team. You hear him on 96.5 The Fan this Sunday night as the Chiefs are in Atlanta taking on Kirk Cousins and company. Dayton Hughes joins us thanks to Blue Cross of Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I guess I'll ask you, did you ever have any teammates about pre-social media? I'm not trying to age you, I promise, but pre-social media have issues with this kind of stuff? We were just discussing with people knowing where people are living and having to move.
I think you are trying to age me, man. See, I knew you were going to try to slip that in there.
You know, I mean, when they had to transfer this via Morse code to let everybody know, Danon?
Yeah, they had to fax the addresses to people back then, and you had to press 9 first before you sent that fax. We didn't have that issue. I was just mentioning the other day what the difference is now. Yeah, we had some success, specifically in the regular season, during my years as a player here in Kansas City, but it seemed like we were much more accessible. And I was talking to someone the other day about the difference in times. Like everyone knew where we would all be after the games. They knew where we would all be on Tuesday nights, Friday nights. It was kind of the same. We traveled in groups, and it seems like a little different now. So I feel like we were much more accessible. I don't know if that made us much more, acceptable or engaging in regards to not having the fans or anybody that poses as a fan harass us. I think you could have found anyone. Everyone knew where Derek Thomas lived. You knew where, the guys that lived on the plaza. You knew where we lived out in Lee Summit, and we never had any of those issues.
When you look at what you're going to see in the field on Sunday, what do you make first, I guess, because we were just talking about it, of left tackle? I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised he got benched on Sunday. Trey Hendrickson was beating him pretty bad, and they made the call to try to win the game by going to Wanye. In typical cases, Danon, I feel like Andy just comes in on Monday and be like, no, it's Kingsley's job, and he'll be the starter, but he needed a breather. Couldn't have the man lose his confidence. They haven't told us who's going to start on Sunday. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised they haven't said it. I'd be surprised if they haven't decided. Okay. Part of me understands that, in that situation, which is very rare for a lot of the listeners out there, you don't normally see offensive linemen rotated out of the game. If you look at the reports for snap counts every single week, it's usually always 100% for the offensive linemen and the quarterback, unlike any other position on the field. So it was a unique situation. I give them credit for doing what was necessary to get the win at the time. I would guess, if I was a betting man, I would guess that Kingsley would be back at the left tackle position. I feel like if you've gone throughout the offseason, preseason, OTAs, training camps, etc., and pretty much from end to end, he's been the guy at that tackle position. Wanye Morris didn't do enough to warrant walking into the season at that position at the left tackle. I just don't know if you give up on that after two games going against two really strong defenses, particularly on the edge. So I would be surprised if he's not back in there. If he's not back in there, I would definitely be surprised if he's not in there for the rest of the season. If you feel like he is the future at that position, you gotta roll with them. I understand the circumstances dictated differently for that game, but I feel like there's enough mileage left in Kingsley and enough confidence that's garnered by him or has been so far that you definitely give him another shot.
Because what does that do mindset-wise? Because I think on one hand, some people might look at a player getting benched mid-game, I should say, this early in the season and say, okay, is that player going to go and pout and woe is me? There's the other side that a player uses as motivation. From your perspective, how do you think that plays out?
Barbecue or mildew. Either going to get hot or you're going to go and suck your thumb next to a tree. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And sometimes you put guys in that position to see which one they'll do.
Sure.
You hope for the best. You wonder. But you also, I don't think guys, until they get in that pressure cooker, you really know what they're made of. Now, everything that I've seen from Kingsley, how he handles himself, some of the edge that he showed in training camp and the fight and the grit that he has, tells me he's going to be a barbecue guy. He's going to be a guy that's going to step up and want people to know that what they saw so far is not indicative of who he is or what type of player he is. But I think there are times it could be a 12-year veteran coming at the end of his career. It could be a rookie, a runny-nosed rookie that may look like he's in over his head. Whatever it is, the great players, the really, really good players that play in professional sports come to a crossroads at some point. And it's usually a mental crossroad, not necessarily a physical crossroad. And I believe that Kingsley has everything in him, has a full gas tank, that he's going to come out on fire. And that's what I think we're hoping for. But you also got to consider the alternative at any time as well.
Danon, are you worried about Travis Kelce? I've made my stance very clear on this show that I don't think he'll ever age. He's off to a slow two-game start, but I think last week you could pretty well explain it away as he'd have 55 more yards and a touchdown if Trey Smith does a better job blocking towards the end zone and a couple of penalties don't go against the Chiefs while Travis Kelce was doing his job. Which part of you thinks that Travis Kelce won't continue to produce, if any?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Travis Kelce, justifiably so, is garnering a lot of attention. We've seen on multiple occasions, not just third and long or in the red zone, but we've seen on multiple occasions coming out from the 20, crossing the 50, where there's two, three guys that are geared up to bracket him. And basically what the defenses so far have been designed to do is, let's see who else can beat us. And Rashee Rice has been the guy that's really stepped up as far as consistently. Isaiah Pacheco, obviously, as well. I can envision that the Atlanta Falcons are probably going to employ a little bit of that same mindset. And let's take away Travis Kelce. Let's scheme Rashee Rice. And let's see if this rookie running back or this veteran running back that hasn't been with the team very long can run the ball effectively and not make them one-dimensional. And if they become one-dimensional, who's going to be that other receiver that we're going to have to worry about or that can make consistent plays? So I feel like it's par for the course right now that Travis Kelce gets a lot of that attention. It's just up to us to configure ways, more creative ways to get him the ball, but then also rely on the other parts of the package that'll get us a win. And if that's Xavier Worthy, so be it. If it's going to be Juju, heck, if it's going to be Carson Steele now, somebody's got to step up. But I don't think what we've seen so far from Travis is any indication that he's beyond his time and that he's on the downhill of his career.
We're talking to former Chiefs wide receiver Danon Hughes. You'll hear him part of the broadcast Sunday Night Football right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Carson Steele a little bit there. Let's dive deeper into the running back situation. It looks like he'll be the guy, at least on the depth chart, starting on Sunday. But how do you think they play this thing out? And Kareem Hunt on the practice squad, do you think there is a chance he's somehow active?
I don't know if he'll be active right away. Maybe because he wasn't with the team up until this point, and you have the bye week coming up in 2 weeks, you might try to carry him through that to gain some confidence for the team to gain confidence with him, and then also see what Carson Steele and Samaje Perine can do as a 1-2 punch. One reason why I thought that they would go with Carson as the starter is because they put him back in even after that fumble. They had him in some really pressure cooker situations, and he stepped up and he made the play. So it shows the confidence that Matt Nagy and Andy Reid have in him. And I feel like they're going to, you know, allow him to carry the load of, or at least the bulk of the load, this Sunday night against the Falcons down there. He's done a nice job. Yeah, the fumble, you'd love for him to secure the ball a little stronger in traffic like he did, but that's part of the growing pains in the NFL. Guys weren't ripping at the ball like that at UCLA or in the Pac-12. It's different, and sometimes you got to go through some of those growing pains, but I like the acquisition of Kareem Hunt. Hopefully we'll see him at the podium, and you know, I'm sure he's going to get the question about what's different between his first stint and this stint. And he has a mature answer for that. And then he can start with a clean slate and hopefully lead us to that third ring in a row.
Danon, I feel like every time we ask people about rule changes or possible rule changes, they just side with whatever helps the position they played or currently play. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with Mel Kiper that they should eliminate the too high safety to try to make offense come back in the NFL?
No, that's the dumbest thing ever. Already enough rules in place that hamper and handicap the defense. Let's not add to that they can only play certain defenses. Like, this is not Tecmo Bowl back in 1989. Like, you can be creative on defense, and if two high safeties is going to be the play, then the quarterbacks have to take the onus of nickel and diamond downfield, not trying to make the big play, and force them out of the two deep zone. Like, we've seen success against two deep. Yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Warren Sapp and John Lynch made it really popular, the Tampa 2, but they only won one Super Bowl. Like, it's not like they were, they were gangbusters for 10 years plus, and they won, multiple Super Bowls. Like, the two deep coverage can be broken, and we can be an offense, and I'm sure with Matt Nagy and especially the mad scientist of offense and Andy Reid can come up with ways and plays to break down a two deep zone. Like, I don't believe, I think that's just, Mel Kiper trying to stretch the envelope a little bit, but you don't take away options for a defense from a defensive structure perspective, maybe from a hitting perspective or, lowering.
We used to give a
helmet.
5 yard, but yeah, like now yeah. You have to get 5 yard cushion. Sure.
Exactly. But from a scheme, no, I totally disagree.
Yeah, I'm with you there. One last thing for Dane and Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. When you look at the Falcons offense, we know they had maybe a season saving type of drive there against Philadelphia. Kirk Cousins, though, even admitted after, he's not 100% post Achilles. I feel like this is where Spags will dial up the blitz even more with what is, I think, a statue in the pocket.
Yeah, I think it's going to be smart to get him antsy in the pocket. When you talk about not being 100%, especially with anything around your legs, it's only human nature that you're going to have a little happy feet. You don't want guys falling on you. You don't want to have to make sudden movements as far as exiting the pocket. So it behooves us to be able to make it a crowded throw for him in the pocket. And also recognize that Joe Burrow is very mobile. Lamar Jackson is the most mobile quarterback that we've probably seen since Mike Vick. And Kirk Cousins is the antithesis of that.
Right.
Like, he's going to be where he's going to be. And we're not going to have a controlled rush like we saw in the last 2 weeks with George Karloftis and Mike Dana. I feel like those guys will be able to, as long as we win on first down. And I know that the popular thing is always talking about winning on third down. I get that. But if you win on first down against this type of team, then every down after that becomes predictable. What they'll do on second down, you'll see a high dose of running plays on second down if you're able to stop them and run a pass on first down because they don't want to be in third and long. So you see offenses have a tendency, especially like the Falcons, they'll run the ball with Bijan on second and long to hopefully get into a third and more manageable situation. But if you're able to win on first down, you make every subsequent down after that more predictable. And if you can get them and stick them in that third and long, then that's when we'll see some action from Spags and our defense and our blitz package.
Dane and Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him, Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan. Enjoy Atlanta this weekend.
All right, fellas. We'll do. We'll come home 3-0. We better.